This morning's responsive reading has come from Psalm 46. And so those of you that may be listening or you have found our church website and you've clicked on the link, turn with us in your own Bible if you want to join us, the Psalm number 46. The title for this psalm, I believe, is very easy because it comes from the psalm itself. And I think that we can find that simply in verse 1. God is our refuge. So that's our title for this particular psalm. The reason being is, look at verse 11. Notice how it ends. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So that seems to be a repeated line, something like maybe a chorus, all right? And so, yes, there are times and seasons when the scriptures does repeat itself. And it repeats itself is because our memories are not that sharp, whether you're young or old, my dear friends. The God who is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, and notice, a very present help in trouble. So we're not talking about a God that did great acts in the past. We're not talking about a God that we hope will do great things in the future. We're talking about a God who does things in the present, in the here and the now. As you look at our country right now, we had a very powerful and a very dangerous weather system. Matter of fact, that system is still with us on the eastern coast and the southeastern states, bringing flooding rains, damaging winds, and deadly and damaging tornadoes. For us here in Kansas, we had a lot of wind. Some parts of our eastern portions of our state had winds clocked over 70 miles per hour, and then we were blessed with all the sand and the dirt that was being kicked up by winds in the southwest desert, all across the panhandle of Texas, all the way into Oklahoma, and it reached us whereby, I think yesterday, my wife went into the library that we have down the hall and noticed a lot of dust on our shelves. And we were thinking about dusting our shelves just a few days ago. What a waste that would have been. Yes, on my desk, I was able to even draw a smiley face because of the dust that was on my desk. And yet, we're still here. God, for whatever reason, maybe in answer to the cries of his people, we were spared damage. God was a very present help on that particular day, that 24-hour day where the winds never stopped, it seemed. God is our refuge. Now, we know what a refuge is. It's a place where you go to find shelter, sustenance, and security. In ancient Israel, they eventually marked off six cities called the cities of refuge. And that cities, or those six cities, were there scattered across the 12 tribes in a strategic location where it didn't take an entire day's journey for the one who needed refuge to get to one of those cities. And the reason being is this person accidentally killed somebody. And the Bible even gives you hypothetical situations. You and your friend go out to the forest to cut some wood, and your axe handle isn't secure to its handle. And it comes flying off, hits your buddy in the head, and he's gone. What do you do? There was no malice. There was no premeditation. There was no hatred boiling within you. It just happened. It was an accident. You could flee to one of these cities and make your case. And then you were brought to the closest city to where the murder or the accident occurred. And you would state your case. A member of the family of that deceased, he wanted vengeance. He wanted your blood to be on the ground besides his loved one. And a jury was convened. Judges were convened. And they would take all the evidence that was given. And if the person was found to be innocent, with no forethought of killing anyone, he would live or she would live in one of these cities of refuge. And that would be his or her place. Until either they died or the death of the reigning high priest. Upon that, this person could be released and the avenger of blood could not harm him or kill him or her. Here, God, that city of refuge was a picture of Christ. He is our refuge. When we flee to Him by faith and cast ourselves upon Him in saving us from our own sins and from the wrath of His Father, He becomes our refuge. He becomes that haven of rest for a ship that has been tossed to and fro out in some nasty ocean storm. And that ship was able, guided by the lighthouse, by the light of the lighthouse, guided by that light, to find a haven of rest and to have peace. God is our refuge and strength. So not only is He a place of refuge, He is also our spiritual and maybe at times a dash or two of some physical strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. And beloved, we got to realize that life is packed full of trouble. You got troubles with the doctor telling you, oh well, you got so many months to live. You're going to have a lot of trouble on the job with people that don't want to do their job, but they want to be paid. Then you got cantankerous people in the church and outside the church that love to make your life miserable. There's a lot of trouble to go around. Therefore will not we fear, verse 2, though the earth be removed. Now notice the picturesque language here. Notice to what extremes the psalmist writes about as he begins to define what he means by trouble. Well, he talks about the earth being removed. He talks about the mountains being basically slid off into the ocean. Verse 4, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, think of the disciples on the Lake of Galilee on at least two occasions where Jesus had to calm the sea and calm the waves. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, almost sounds like a volcanic eruption or maybe a massive earthquake. Notice the imagery that the psalmist uses in order to define his use of the term in trouble. He's talking about cataclysmic renovation of the earth in a figure of speech, hyperbole, language that goes to the extreme, exaggerated imagery here. And beloved, there are times and seasons we have to face facts. There are times and seasons that some of the trouble that comes to us literally equals the renovation of our planet in a physical sense. The trauma of being told, you have cancer and so many months to live, make them good. The death of a child in the womb or in the crib. The abandonment of a husband to his family because of drink, alcohol, and prostitution. The collapse of a business, to see an entire family business that has been in a generation within that family for generation after generation, then to hit the skids and be filing for bankruptcy, and all of that generational heritage, all destroyed because of mismanagement by a present-day generation. Monumental, earth-shattering, earth-shaking trouble. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So notice the time, right early, and then you get in verse 1, a very present help. Sometimes, beloved, we are tempted because we don't see these dramatic miracles and these dramatic deliverances that you read about in the Old Testament. When was the last time you saw a ocean parted in half? I haven't seen that. When's the last time you saw an entire army on a battlefield decimated by a death angel? I haven't seen that. When's the last time you saw fresh water turned into wine? Haven't seen that. When's the last time you've been to a funeral and the person in the box decides to wake up and you're told to give him a little bit of food so he can have strength? Haven't seen that. And so we have this temptation in our mind. Well, that was way back yonder. That's back then. God did all that back then. He don't do that today. Well, beloved, I think sometimes God performs miracles and we're just too blind to see them. We cry out to God in our prayers, and sometimes we think God is not hearing us, but He does. And so I'm here to encourage you, my dear friends. I'm here to provoke you unto love and to good works by admonishing you not to forget that the God who once acted in the past and shall act in the future is the same God who is alive and well today in the present. And you and I can sing, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. So the psalmist here is telling those who would hear this song to even reflect in their past. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Talking about deliverance from some invading army. Be still and know that I am God. Beloved, the reason why we don't know God too much, or we don't know God enough, is because we're so blooming busy. We have the clinging and the clatter of everyday life when God tells us, simply be still. We live in such a chaotic world. My wife and I have been in some homes that there is so much chatter and so much conversation going on, you can't even hear the television set in the living room that is on and the volume on high. Can't even hear the TV. The clatter and the chatter. Loud voices, loud laughter. For what? All this noise. Noise. And God says, be still and know that I am who I am. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Well, guess what? That has found its fulfillment under the new covenant, the gospel now, since the death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension of Christ. Beloved, that gospel door now is wide open. Wide open for every and all nations under heaven. So there it is. God, who is our refuge. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.